It's Phil Hack and Virtual Sky Hansman and unnamed intern. How are you, sir?
Morgan McLean. Good.
No, your name is now unnamed intern.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
First name unnamed, second name intern.
Well, give me some coffee!
Give me some coffee. Give me a sandwich, Morgan. You have a better monitor than Phil? Is this what I'm saying here?
Yeah, he's already staked them out for when I go.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's looking at the machine, he's like, oh, quad core.
This is how
nice.
Internships work. So, like, I'd have my own office, but since I have an intern staying with me, the benefit is I get to scavenge everything that he gets when
yeah.
he leaves.
So, you got so all yeah, equipment. I'll see you in like a few months, I'll have like four monitors. Actually, once Eli goes, you'll have like six.
So how did you get this gig? Are you like a PhD at MIT or something? Or
no,
are you like...
I'm a engineering physics and economics student at UBC.
What is UBC?
University of British Columbia.
Canadians.
Yeah.
Oh, man, they look just like us. It's freaking me out.
They look and sound just
That's
like
not
us.
Cool. Phil, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm chilling. What do you got?
I'm working on NBC3 stuff.
Okay. NBC3.
ASP.NET NBC3.
That sounds one better than NBC2.
Yeah, that is.
Okay, what's the goodness that we have that you can tell me about? Is it a secret?
No. We're about to... Well, it depends. Am I talking to future people or am I talking to present people?
Let's assume that this is the day that it comes out.
Okay, then, yeah. then it wouldn't be a secret.
Here, we'll try it again. You just go, oh, hello. I didn't see you there.
Yeah. Hello.
No, you have to own it.
We've already done that gimmick, yeah. Like I say, hello people in the future.
Yes.
If you are watching this, ASP.NET MVC3 Preview 1 has just come out, and let me take you on a tour.
Okay. Can you brighten up this dim-ass monitor here?
how do I do that?
I don't think there's a brighten button on desktops.
Here we go.
You should maybe ask your
intern
for it.
No,
that's fine. I'll zoom in. Just use poor man's zoom.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Cool.
Complete with sound effects. Oh, that burns my retinas. My retina display. Oh, no. You're the one with the retina display.
No. This is a flip video camera.
Oh. I see.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right.
I mean, you're the one with the flip video camera.
All right. What do you got here? So look at it. Oh, what's this?
Okay, so in Preview 1, you'll notice here that we have two project templates, one for ASPX, which is our existing web forms view engine, and then this new Razor, which is the hotness.
And is it going to say that? Like when it ships, is it going to say Razor, or are we going to come up with some boring name?
Well, when we ship, we will only have one project template. We've only done this for Preview 1, but we'll have as part of the new project dialog, where you select your unit test framework, will have the ability to choose which view engine you want.
Ah, so you're saying that the switch happens at the project level now, and in the future it'll be a dialogue choice.
Exactly.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So then I can say file new MVC project and pick some new Scott view engine.
Sure. Let's click OK here. And so this dialogue will be more of a MVC new project dialog as opposed to a create unit test project, then maybe right
cool.
here you'll have your view engine options.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't just be ours. There could be others in there that you add or that third parties add.
Okay, that's cool.
So let's create our project.
And you click no tests because we don't test things here.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Right, so you'll notice not a lot has changed here.
Okay.
But our
templates. Give me a little control scroll over there.
Control.
Push control and scroll on your little wheelie.
All right.
There you go.
How's that?
That's perfect.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
View model dot message. That used to be a hash table there.
Yeah. So this, if you look in MVC 1 and 2, whoops, view data. This would have been this.
Mm-hmm, like a dictionary.
Yeah, and in fact, these two calls are equivalent. What we've done with MVC 3 is we've added a dynamic property called ViewModel, for lack of better name, and we're open to naming suggestions.
ViewData, not a good name?
Well, ViewData's taken.
But you can't make it also a dictionary and a dynamic object at the same time?
No, not with IntelliSense. So we technically we could sort of do that, but like for example, you could probably do something along, we could make this sort of work, but you just wouldn't get the IntelliSense on that.
But the only thing you'd be missing...
You'd just get dynamic expression.
The only thing you'd miss would be hit view data with the left square bracket. You'd lose... Oh, I see. You'd lose that.
Yeah.
But do I really care?
I don't know.
Well, that's a good question for the community.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking of names.
It's an idea. Actually, there's some specific...
See how he blew me off like that? That was really awesome.
It's an idea.
We'll take that to the team.
Well, there's eval. So, for example, that you might care about, you know, in the view.
Yeah, but I like that syntax. View model dot message.
Yeah, and it's just a...
Show us that dot again, because that's really significant. You said view model dot. This operation will be resolved at runtime.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a dynamic. That sounds very Anders-like.
Yeah, exactly. This is using the new dynamic infrastructure in .NET.
Okay.
You know, now that the DLR is part of the .NET framework.
Okay.
And really, it's just what it does is just gives you a nice, cleaner looking syntax for adding stuff to a dictionary, right?
Okay.
Now, on the consumption side. Ignore that.
Ignore that exception dialog. This is probably like a daily build here you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So you'll notice here that...
It's too small. Control scroll.
Oh, yeah. Control scroll.
There we go. Okay, so now we're in a view.
Yeah.
This looks like a Razor view.
Yeah, and you can see here that things like view.message now. So we have this bit of asynchronicity right now where...
Asymmetricalness.
It's asymmetrical.
Not asynchronous.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Can you cut that?
I will not. I will not cut that.
Oh, yeah. Make me sound... Yeah.
Blame the intern, though.
Okay, it's his fault. Yeah. So, the thing is, we would have... Initially, when we had this idea, we're like, oh, we could do view.message equals, and then we're like, oh, yeah, but we already have this method called view, and you can't have a property and a method of the same name. So we called this one view model, and we really like, you know, the terseness of this in views. People like terse views in terms of they want their markup there and as little bit of code as possible.
Right.
Even in typing. I mean, I'm not completely opposed to that.
That's five more characters.
Yeah,
but
I mean...
But at that point, you might as well just say V.
V. Well, you know, there was one suggestion, VD, but we nixed that really quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I probably will edit that out. Okay. All right, so that's cool. So view.message here is the same thing. So if I go back to the home controller and I say viewModel.foo, I say view.foo here.
Yeah, exactly. So viewModel.message, view.message. Now, one thing you're not seeing here...
Well, we talked to Damien yesterday, and he showed some IntelliSense and syntax highlighting and stuff.
Yeah, I can show you the syntax highlighting, but it's...
It's okay. Damien showed it to us.
Oh, he did?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I just installed it, so I was expecting to see it, so I don't know. Can you pause a second?
This is Canadian interns.
I'm about to show things I'm not supposed to show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'll supposed to talk to you. Bill is showing us things, so I'll show them things that you're not supposed to do. This looks like a Word document.
Yep.
Is that what you have to do, is write a lot of prose?
Actually, no. No, I've been doing mostly coding, even though I'm a PM.
He's writing a tutorial.
Right now for the thing
But this is a tutorial for something I just zoomed in on. Do I have to remove that now from the video?
Nope, it's shipping pretty soon. It's going to be on CodePlex. So.
Oh, okay. It's part of Futures?
It's like a sprite control.
Yeah,
image
actually,
optimization
why don't you guys talk about that?
Yeah,
you fix what you're doing? All right, what are you doing?
So basically...
Hello, more interesting person.
Basically, I've created this framework where rather than having to create sprites or inline images manually, which is rather tedious, especially if you want to update a page, you can just put some picture files in a folder called fsprites. It'll merge them together, and then you can just access them using...
So you're going to have to back up, though. What are sprites?
Okay, CSS sprites are a way of optimizing images for websites to speed up the loading of a page because it decreases the number of HTTP requests.
Why does it decrease them?
Because you're merging all the pictures into one giant picture and using CSS to slice them out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like if I want to have a little Mario guy,
yeah.
I wouldn't make 12 states for Mario. I would
In
make
fact.
A grid of Mario states.
Just like that.
Oh, you're lying. Dude, you used Mario as your example?
Yeah.
Great minds. Because
in the 80s, sprites were used on game consoles.
So you're saying you bring down that one image.
Yeah. Well, if you have, say, several of these images on a page, normally when you put each one, the client's web browser needs to request them individually, which has a lot of latency associated with it. So what we've done is just merge them all into one. This is you can do this manually, people have for years, but this automates it.
Well, I remember doing this in like Dreamweaver. It was like hover, on hover.
Yeah.
You know, I had like five different states for a button. It was horrible.
And yeah, when you rolled over, it would have to load, right? So this does all that for you.
Mm.
So it'll load very quickly. And
okay.
We've also got support for inlining images directly into HTML and CSS, so you have zero HTTP requests for it.
Okay, that just blew my mind.
Basically, you take an image, you can encode it with Base64, and then you can just basically set the image source as the huge Base64 string that is the image, and we've just developed a framework for automating that.
And people do this already? Because I'm worried that people will blame us for this.
No. People
like,
do
people
this
are like, oh, it's a new view state. Now they're shoving images in them input boxes.
Well, yeah, this is sort of like static HTML. It's, you know, supported. It's just built in HTML and CSS. People have done it for years, but it's rather irritating.
Okay, so what is this web forms or is this MVC?
It supports web forms, MVC, and the new Razor view engine.
Do you have a demo or something?
Yeah. Got a web forms demo here.
Okay.
So what we've got here is the app sprites folder. I'll open it in Windows Explorer.
See how he said Windows Explorer? Like, just it's like you're so responsible and Microsofty.
So what I've got here are two logos, just both for ASP.NET, and a folder, a subfolder of app sprites.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, these files here were automatically generated by the framework. I can delete them, and I'll start running it.
So app sprites like app data. It's like a low
security
area. You can do some things to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll move this over here, and we can watch what happens. So if we run this sample,
okay,
it's going to start building first. Uh-oh.
Set project type as a startup.
Oh, I was going to say that's the wrong startup project.
It's right there.
There we go. See?
Sorry.
That's good. I've
done this once before, yeah. Well, one day you'll learn.
So as it builds and runs, hopefully I didn't leave any bugs in it. There we go. So as you can see here, the images have been merged into one giant sprite. And exception was unavailable user code. As you can see, it's still running.
Well, double click on that sprite. Let's see what's going on there.
So yeah, it's merged both the images.
Oh, so you dynamically merged them both. You put them into, and then you wrote out the file. You called it Sprite Zero.
Yeah,
okay.
And we've got it generates the CSS that's used to access them, as you can see here.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can just call the CSS in a browser using either a built-in control for web forms or a helper function for MVC, or you can just reference it using CSS, and the CSS names are pretty simple.
And how did it know how to merge them? Just because they were named a certain way?
Basically, it merges all the images within each subfolder of app sprites right now.
Oh, so it's all convention.
Sorry?
It's all convention. I can have...
Yeah. Yeah, and you can also have a settings.xml file. I don't know if I have one here. No. I don't have one at the moment, but it's a settings file you can define to the maximum size of a sprite. To, I don't know, maybe you want them to cut off after 600 kilobytes, and it'll make a second one.
Mm.
But it's still referenced the same way, because it's still one CSS file.
That's hot. Was this your idea, or is this one of those ideas that was like, it's always out there in the ether, and it could be anyone's
idea?
Yeah,
it was one of those. It had always been floating around, and then when I came on, my manager suggested that this would be a good thing to work on.
So where will this ship, then?
This will ship on CodePlex pretty soon. Yeah.
As part of the futures, ASP.NET future stuff, or?
Not sure about that.
Phil, do you know where this is going?
What?
The sprite stuff, where's it going?
Well,
CodePlex, I know that. But
CodePlex.
Is it a futures
then,
thing? Like, just throw it out there and see what people think?
Well, yeah, initially CodePlex, but probably rolled, you know, depending on feedback, rolled this back into the framework at some point.
Yeah, so it'll be built in.
Very cool.
4 or 5, yeah.
All right, Rocka, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
That's very nice. Phil.
Hey, yeah.
Have you rebooted your machine now? Or you're bringing up another machine?
Ah, forget it. We don't need the syntax. You've already seen
I know the syntax I like.
Okay.
You're very kind to have worked.
I haven't worked on my laptop.
No, I know what it looks like, but you're very kind to have worked so hard. Oh, what's going on? Are you mad?
I figured out why it's not working.
It's not, you know, it's not like I'm here with a video camera.
Yeah.
You guys know
it was just checked into source
have
control.
Have demos working. It's not like I'm tripping over trash cans.
It was checked into source control. That's why I couldn't edit it. Here we go.
Oh, okay. So you have a demo that works?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
So I'll bring up a sample page.
Okay.
It's just the basic sample site for web forms.
Can you control scroll?
Yeah. And what we've got here is a special tag. Let me zoom in for you.
ImageX.
Yeah, because right now it's just called ImageX for image extended.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically in web forms the same as an image tag, except it's got this extra parameter, optimize equals true. And you actually point it at the original source image here. So the image URL is still the original image. You don't have to worry, like, it's as if the sprite isn't there. the developer doesn't even have to think about it. And basically, once we run it,
that's cool.
It'll do all the merging like I just showed you, and then these are now referenced as sprites.
Right, and they're on top of each other, even though the sprites are left.
Yeah.
Now, what if I right-click on one of those and say properties?
So what the way it works is we've got a single 1x1 pixel GIF that's transparent, that's Base64 encoded. Basically, the image is in the CSS.
Mm-hmm.
That is the image and the image tag that's given to the browser. And then the CSS class points to the sprite.
So if I looked at Fiddler, I would see the one sprite image come across the wire. And then and then CSS is doing all the chopping up.
Yeah.
And as far as
the browser,
knows,
this is a one
it's
pixel
a big old
GIF.
Blob. But what's all that goo there?
That is this right here is the Base64 encoding for a 1x1
for GIF. That's the original one.
Yeah.
And it's been stretched, you see the size is different because of the CSS.
Yeah. So
crazy.
the one downside of sprites is that because browsers aren't totally, you know, they're not images per se.
Right.
So if you go, if you want to like optimize your site for search engine indexing, the sprites won't show up. So
what about optimizing for blind people?
Yeah, and they don't degrade the best.
I'm not saying degrade to the point where blind people can see them. I'm saying
degrade. No, alt text, that sort of
that's
thing.
That's my question.
Alt text will be associated with the 1x1 pixel GIF, so it's still there.
Okay, so they can tab over it, they can see it, they can click on it.
Yeah, but it you know, depending on how the web browser handles it, if it's not loading images, it's literally going to load a 1 pixel image. So.
Interesting. Still, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Work on it. When will we see that? Soon?
Hopefully in the next few weeks. That's the plan. It's in for final code review right now. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's hot. Dude, we're doing innovative things in your office, Phil.
Oh, cool. Okay, how do you do this text thing without a scroll bar?
Oh, you plug in a mouse with a scroll. You control. I don't know, dude.
Oh, wait,
tools, options, fonts.
Control plus, control minus.
Not in Dev 10.
Oh.
Shift control plus? No?
There's something here. This little.
Oh, there you go.
Hang on a second. I didn't know this. Let me get that. Ooh.
See,
I didn't even know that was there.
Yeah, it's like hidden away there, right?
Yeah. You know, I always used to wonder why in PowerPoint the button to start a slideshow was like the smallest button on the screen. It was like, if you can click this 4x4 image, then you are allowed to give a slideshow.
Yeah, when you're on stage and you're nervous, it's like, ah! All right, so, okay, here's what the colorization looks like. I don't have IntelliSense or anything yet.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is coming, just not in preview 1.
So it's all, I see, so the syntax highlighting won't be in preview 1.
Well, not even the colorization, unfortunately.
Mm.
All that is coming later. We're doing a lot of, as you interview Damon, they're doing a lot of work over there in the Visual Studio land to make this all really nice. And pretty.
Is the primary thing in MVC 3 Razor, or what are some other things for hardcore MVC?
There's actually, for hardcore people, there's several cool things. One is that we now have support for .NET 4 data annotations. So if I go to my model here, this is an app I was just playing around. This is actually kind of a lie. I was just, you know, building a
sample
app.
Yeah, you're just
app.
Loading up a crazy, you're going to have to do that again. You're actually loading up a crazy app with just like all sorts of annotations.
Yeah, but one that's kind of important to a lot of people is that in .NET, in MVC 2, you can only use the display name attribute. But now we support the display attribute, which is display name, but better. In that you can use resources, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for that, and then in this demo, what I have is I have two resource files, messages.es.resx and messages.resx.
Okay, so you've got Spain, and then you've got English. The default here, which is.
And what I wanted to show people is one way that you could, you know, like do localization for different languages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so. But I'm not sure I would do it exactly this way, but I thought I would have a little bit of fun and use some hidden gems of ASP.NET 4.
Okay.
So one feature of ASP.NET 4 that... whoops. Maybe I'm not using that.
Looks like you had a preload there, too.
Yeah, let me find where this is being used.
You should use control comma. Yeah, pre-application start.
Yeah, but you have to actually put the call to that somewhere. So, simple assembly, colon, pre,
applications, Dart. I think that's it. No,
I think you're just making stuff up now.
I'm just making stuff up.
Let's go show us the code.
Okay, let's forget that part.
Show me the code, though, because the code is interesting. So the idea here is that with ASP.NET 4, you can pre-cache stuff, right? You basically get in way, way, way earlier than app start.
That's the key thing, is that it's before app start. So the attribute...
I wrote a blog post about this. So. Mm-hmm.
You called it Hidden Gems, I think, and you had all the different cool stuff you can do in... Was it IS7 and ASP.NET 4?
It's ASP.NET 4. I don't think IS matters. I don't think it requires IS7 for the pre-app start. You know what works when you're trying to type in your main machine is to use the right keyboard.
Dude, yeah, I do that all the time. Clicking on the keyboard and wondering, why isn't it doing anything?
I might get it. Oh, and also...
also typing it in the search bar. Three hidden extensibility gems in ASP.NET 4.
Yeah, so this is...
I'm going to get so many people complaining about this video. It's like, I was totally nauseous and car sick watching your video.
I know. Can
assembly you, pre-application start method.
Can't you do some, editing?
No, I don't edit. I don't edit because I give it to the people raw. That's how they like it.
I mean, you have,
Showed how it is.
I show it how it is. I keep it real. And sometimes keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, especially when you have basically two different episodes mixed into one.
No,
right?
But this is good. This is we're spending our lunch hour with people.
What is that type? That's pre-application start code. Pre-application start code. Let's bump that up. Alt Shift Enter should, and then we got the tooltip. Good.
All right. So you said in your assembly info, pre-application start method is located on this type.
Yes.
So you're saying before anything happens.
Yes.
Before app start, before global ASA fires up, before fire this up. What kind of things would I want to do that? Why do I want to get involved so early?
Well. One thing you might want to do is you might want to import namespaces globally. So if you recall in web.config, there's in the pages section, there's the namespaces section, and you can import a bunch of namespaces. And what that allows you to do is reference these types from within your ASPX or views without having to use the fully qualified namespace and without having to use the ugly imports statement at top. With CSHTML or Razor View Engine, we don't yet have those things don't apply to Razor View Engine because those are for pages, and Razor View Engine is something different. So what you can do you can
use this thing called code generator settings.add global import.
I see. So you're telling the entire application that localization web.resources should be made available to anyone
HTML page.
Well, and specifically anyone who's using code generation. Which is the CSHTML, right? You're saying to the code generator, not to the assembly, not to the loader, not to any compilers,
yes.
But to the code generator
for CSH
services that it's going to use.
Yep.
The way, this is a global namespace.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now, the other thing I'm doing is, that'll be interesting, is I wrote this filter called language filter.
Okay.
So... I actually wrote it as an iAuthorization filter as a cheesy way of making sure this runs before any other action filter.
Okay.
But the basic idea here is I grab the language from the query string. I could grab it from route data or some other place in a real app.
You should be grabbing it from accept user lang.
From accepts, but let's say you want to override it. So I should be grabbing it from accepts, and then if that's not available, or if you override that via some means, then I will give you the language you chose.
Mm, okay.
But in any case, I'm setting the current culture. Now, think about a filter like this is an MVC2, you have to add it every single place that you would want to use.
Right, all the methods.
So one thing we've added is this global filters collection here. So now I can add this language filter to global filters. And so it applies to all MVC actions.
How would I remove it from every I want to put on every single one except run method.
We're looking into that. We haven't defined how that works. But what one thing we have defined though is we have this new service MVC service locator dot
set current.
Service locator? That sounds very DI.
Yeah. So one thing we're doing with MVC3 is we're adding a lot of hooks all over the place for doing dependency injection. So if you have a, if you're someone who uses dependency injection and you have a favorite dependency injection or IOC container framework that you use, or library that you use, you notice there I have that MVC service located at setCurrent. Now, I don't have anything installed on my machine that implements our interface yet, but right now we're basing our interface off the common service locator interface, although we have our own right now, just so that we didn't have to try to figure out how to ship something else with our preview. But we're looking for feedback from the community about whether we implement the actual common service locator. One nice thing about that is that you could actually, every place that we currently have factories, you can have those instantiated through the service locator instead.
Also, instead of running around saying this factory and that factory and that factory.
Yeah. But let's say you want to use, there's a lot of people who say, oh, I just want to use a service locator or my DI container only to instantiate these things, but I don't, you know, I don't want to bother with having to deal with that. So we do have defaults for everything. So you don't, once you register your service locator, you don't have to, in your DI container, register types for every possible interface that we have. So you can only override, you can choose just to override things you care about, or you can pretty much override almost everything. So for example, with filters, we have this concept of a filter provider. And so you could actually use your DI container to register, say, this, here's my iFilter provider. And then when we instantiate the filter provider, we'll instantiate yours with all its dependencies. And then you are now responsible for providing global or filter. So you could build up your own API for, you know, like registering filters per action, per controller, or whatever you want at that point. You're in control. So, you know, and we have a default filter provider for reflection that uses attributes. As you might imagine, that's basically the same behavior as MVC2. So this has this is sort of, in preview one, it's sort of part one of our service location slash dependency injection feature.
Okay.
And the big thing we're going to want from a lot of people is a lot of feedback on, you know, did we do enough? Have we gone far enough with that? What's good about it? What's bad about it? And, you know, how can we improve it?
So ASP.NET MVC3, preview one, you've got new view engine, gonna have new tooling soon, you're gonna have you know, new file, new project dialog, you're gonna have service locator hooks, you're gonna have,
add view, the improvements. So we also are gonna so not only do we have our own new view engine, but
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah, there.
So add view.
Add view. And you notice here that we have this drop down box where you can select view engine, but you can add your own view engine into that drop-down box. So if you saw Scott Guthrie's blog post, he had Spark in there. I don't have it in this in the laptop yet, but I need to get it before my user group meeting tonight to show that off. But the idea is that we'd like to work with, you know, help alternative view engine authors such as, you know, nVelocity, Haml, and Spark, to be able to add theirs to this dialogue.
And be so first-class citizens.
And be, yeah, effectively first-class citizens. So when you add a view and you're a Spark user, you can just right-click, add view, select Spark. Ideally, it'll remember your last selection so the next time you won't have to choose it. And then you can add Spark views. And we'll have support, eventually support for, you know, layout pages in each of the different view engines. So you notice here that if I choose Razor, I got layout.cshtml in there. Right now, if we choose Spark, you won't we won't have that because we have to understand like the layout format for Spark and how that...
Or if they even have one.
Or if they even have one, exactly. And how what the reasonable way of selecting that is. Now, it turns out that there may be a little bit of code that each view engine author will have to write to basically tell us, like, are there sections in your template, and what are they? But other than that, you know, then your their T4 templates for generating the views are responsible for most of the work.
Very cool. Well, thanks for showing me that. So we'll check out Phil's blog. Do you have a blog, Canadian Intern?
No, but I do have some more to show you.
Morgan has more. Real quick, we're running out of disk space.
Okay, show you some Base64 encoding. So the current version of Internet Explorer doesn't support base 64 inlining, which is putting the image actually into your HTML or your CSS.
Okay.
But the way the control works is if you render a page to Internet Explorer, it'll show it as a sprite, right? So this is the sprite that I showed you before. This is in Chrome, which does support it. So this is actually rendered directly into the HTML. And the way you can see that is we pass it through CSS.
Oh, wow. It's actually inline.
Yeah. Well, no, that's still the one-by-one
piece of transparent GIF. Oh, that's the one-by-one.
It's inline into the CSS, which is here.
Yeah.
And notice that it's highcompat.css. If we open this...
Oh, you have two CSS.
This uses something called lowcompat.css. And if we open the CSS file... In Visual Studio.
Oh, let me guess. When you generated this thing, you went and you put.
Yeah, we told it to enable this.
The
so these are the these
inside
are
the CSS.
This is humongous, you know, base 64
crazy.
Languages. Yeah.
So high compat and low compat.
It'll display in any browser, and if you're in a really old browser, it just comes out as a plain old image. Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll fall back.
Cool. We got sprites. We got future stuff. We got ASP.NET MVC 3 magical.
See, now you know why I get the intern coffee. Right guy.
Yeah, really. Well, can I get you anything? Here, have a Coke Zero. There you go.
Thank you.
All right. Goodbye.
Bye.